Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
Welcome back. My name is Kelly Patterson, and I am co-hosting today's show with Maria Bailey. We are very excited for today's guest. She is near and dear to me and no stranger to the show, Christina Michelle. Christina, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me today as a guest. This is a little bit different, but I'm excited about it. I'm Christina Michelle Patterson. I usually just go by Christina Michelle. I am a resident of Juneau, a member of the Black Awareness Association, and I am a female entrepreneur. I help women to clear blockages to self-worth and self-love, and I help them to put a game plan together to accomplish goals. And I do this through coaching, hypnotherapy, and a new service that I just started, which is called Yoni Steaming or Bee Steaming. So I really focus on the mind, body, and spirit in everything that I do. And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Christina. So we hear you on the radio almost every week, but who is Christina Michelle really? Take us through the Cliff Notes version of your life and who you are.
Okay. I don't know if I have Cliff Notes for anything, but I'll try. I'll try. So I'm an Alaska girl born and raised. I was born in Anchorage and raised in Juneau. My dad was in the military and we were stationed, I think, in Fort Greeley or Fairbanks or somewhere around there. It's been so long. I was a little kid when we left Anchorage, but he was stationed there for a few years. And then we came to Juneau when he got out of the military and he started pastoring here. And that was pretty much it. I don't know that my family meant to stay here forever, but he took over a church here and he was going to be the interim pastor for a few months. And it turned into several years. And here I am. And, you know, my parents are both from the South originally. They're both from Louisiana. And my dad was born in, he's from Alaska, but my grandparents on my dad's side are from Louisiana. And my mom and her parents are from Louisiana. So my roots are kind of Southern, but I was born here. And my parents met because my dad was here and my mom came to actually visit my uncle, her brother, who was also stationed in the Army outside of Anchorage. And she came to visit him on her summer break after high school, after she graduated. And she ended up meeting my dad. And they fell in love. And so instead of being here for the summer just to see her brother, she ended up staying here and marrying my dad. And then along came me and my brother.
Ah, and then what did you do after here? Have you lived here ever since then? Did you leave and come back?
I definitely left and came back. So I graduated from Juneau Douglas High School and I was on the first plane smoking. I went to go see the world, or I thought that's what I was going to do. And my parents actually had to push me out of the door because I didn't know anything other than Juneau. And I had my friends here and, you know, I had done some traveling, but not a lot. So I was a little bit nervous about leaving the island, I like to call it, being here. But once I wrapped my brain around it, and I think once I actually got accepted into college, that's when I was like, wow, you know, there's like, this is really happening. I could do this. And so I got really excited and I was happy to go explore. So I did leave the summer after I graduated from high school and I went to college at the time it was called Southern California College. And it's now known as Vanguard University of Southern California, and it's in Costa Mesa. And so I was there for almost 4 years. And I actually left my senior year there and went to Costa Rica. And that's kind of I guess we could get into that later, but it's not really like, I don't know if it's that important, but I went to live in Costa Rica for 3 months. with a family that I did not know, and they were amazing. They took care of me, and you know, that was shortly after my dad and my mom divorced pretty suddenly, and I didn't want to come back to Juneau, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, my dad withdrew his financial support and decided he wasn't paying for my last year of college. And so it was a lot of stuff going on. So yeah, I ended up in Costa Rica for a little while and eventually made my way back to California. And that's where I lived and built my life for the next 12 years. And then I came back to Juneau about 4 years ago. That kind of was a little bit by accident. I came for a Christmas break. And I ended up staying for 4 years, technically. Juno does do that to Juno you. It's so charming and beautiful, and the people here are so kind. And then coming from California, where it's, you know, you have to like look out for yourself. I was just talking to my friend who was visiting here from California, and we were just talking about the weather because he's like, oh my gosh, Juno turned on me. Because it was like so beautiful his first 2 days here. And then it just completely dumped last Monday and it just like snowed. And he's like, what happened? And so, you know, we were just talking about the nuances of anywhere that you live. And we were laughing because I was like, yeah, in California, you don't have to look out for weather or bears. You know, you have to look out for people, you know, because it's the people that'll get you. You know? So it was really refreshing after spending 12 years in Southern California. Not that it wasn't amazing, and not to say there's not great people there, because I built a family there too. But, you know, to come back to Juneau, which is, you know, very community oriented and family oriented, it's been refreshing. And to be close to my family again. It had been a long time that I was, you know, just here with my mom and my brother and with my sister and my niece and nephew. And so, yeah, it's been amazing.
Thank you. That was so interesting. As we listen to the radio from week after week, we don't get a whole lot of details about your life. So that was fun. That was lots of fun. So we, I know, don't, that earlier, yes, you talked about, yes, you know, as a profession and as an entrepreneur, you deal a lot with women and women's emotional and mental health. And in honor of Women's History Month, to close it out, we wanted to just talk to you about self-care and just get your take on self-care. You are our family expert on self-care, and you remind us to do self-care. So we just really wanted to take care of the ladies today and talk about self-care.
That sounds good.
So Christina, what is self-care? How do you define that?
Not to oversimplify it, but honestly, just taking care of yourself and doing it mind, body, and spirit. And I think that as women, we kind of overlook that. I think we know that we should do it and it sounds great, but when it comes down to it, a lot of times we're so quick to make sure that other people are taken care of in our lives that we put our own self-care on the back burner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that that is a struggle that women have in general, is just feeling like you deserve self-care. With that being said, what are some of the other struggles that women have with self-care?
Well, I think knowing what self-care is for you as an individual, because sometimes it takes some time to know what that is. And if you're just getting into practicing self-care, you might have a tendency to try anything that's labeled self-care, you know? And so you're like, oh, you know, this person works out all the time and she said that's her self-care routine, and so I'm going to do that. And then you find that you're not really built up by that. It's not your thing. And so then you might try something else that somebody labeled as self-care for themselves. And then it can just feel like, well, I'm not really feeling like I'm getting what I need out of this self-care. And I'm saying that with air quotes. Routine. And so really knowing yourself and what you need and what self-care is to you can be a obstacle. I think another thing is time. I know a lot of women that say, I just don't have the time. And, you know, with kids and with spouses and businesses and other family obligations, they have a hard time scheduling it in. So that can be a big obstacle. And I think also just knowing that you're worth that time or money, because money can be a big thing too. And so, you know, if they're like, well, my self-care routine has to cost money, and right now I don't have money to, you know, take myself to get my nails done or to spend a ton of money on my hair, or they might feel like, well, if I do something for myself, I also have to spend money on my kids, and I can't afford both. And so then they won't do either. So I would say those are probably the top three obstacles that I hear to practicing self-care.
So I was told that using a vision board would help with kind of moving you in that direction of self-care. Could you explain what a vision board is?
Exactly? Yes, I'm passionate about vision boards. So a vision board is a poster board that has images of things that you want to either accomplish or want to bring more of into your life. And the way it works is, well, the way that I teach vision boarding is we go through a process where we do like a meditation to help you just kind of calm your mind and tap into your inner self. And then we do what's called the be, do, have. And so I have you think about who and how you want to be over the coming, you know, 6 months to a year or whatever timeline you want to set for yourself. And then as that person, then what do you want to do? And so you'll just list those things out. And then what would you like to have? And so that can be, you know, anything from having more free time to having things that are material. And then after you make your list, then you'll go through a stack of magazines or maybe images you found on the internet or pictures that you've collected around your home. And you'll just start to do the flip process where you just kind of flip through the images and you see what calls out to you based on what intention you set for your be, do, have. After that process, sometimes you'll end up eliminating some pictures because you might have chosen like 100 of them, you know, but you'll get it down to what's comfortable for you. And then you arrange it on a poster board and then you decorate it and you make it really pretty. I like putting a picture of myself right in the middle of it because it's like seeing me in the middle of what I want to create or attract for myself. And then the goal is that you would look at your vision board every day, multiple times a day, if you can. And that just helps you to stay connected and aligned to what it is that you want to create. So that's a great self-care thing that you can do. I mean, just the exercise alone of creating the vision board can be very self-care-ish. And then, of course, looking at your vision board all the time, because when you look at it, it should instantly catapult you into that life that you're trying to manifest.
Yeah, that's good. And it's interesting because we did a vision board as a family and we focused on like what we wanted as a family.
I love that idea.
So it's nice that even with your vision board, you can say, like, I've heard people say, this is my travel vision board, or this is my family vision board.
Yeah.
This is the vision board just for me. And they just have vision boards everywhere. And they are so fun. Like, I was hesitant to do one for a long time. And then I finally did one and I really enjoyed myself. So I am pro vision board.
Yay.
We'll have to get you to do one next time, Maria. Oh. You'll have to come and do a vision board. Well, you know, it's time to take a short break,
absolutely.
But we will be right back and talk some more about self-care. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and I am joined today by my co-host, Maria Bailey. If you are just joining us, we are talking to our guest, Christina Michelle, about self-care. So, Christina, what prompted your personal journey to self-care?
Well, I would say 10 years ago, I was actually engaged to be married, and it was the kind of relationship that I didn't intend for it to get so serious, and it did. And I just kind of was going along with it. And before I knew it, we were headed to the altar. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what am I doing? And I had all these red flags popping up for me in regards to, you know, this impending marriage. But I just felt so obligated, and I felt kind of stuck, like I had to do this because we had already invested all this time, and, you know, his family was involved and my family was involved. And there just came a point where I decided to end it. And that point was when I was actually on the way to our wedding. So he lived in Jamaica, and we were in a long distance relationship, and we were going to actually have a destination wedding in Jamaica. And the day that I left for the wedding, I just had so much anxiety. And actually leading up to that time, probably, you know, a couple weeks before, I just had this sense of dread. Like, if I did this, then something in me was going to die. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was going to be like a spiritual death or if it was going to be an emotional death. Like, I didn't know, but I just felt like if I did this, then, you know, I was going to be losing a lot more than I had to gain. And I hate to make it sound like he was a terrible person, because he wasn't, but the relationship wasn't for me. And so I ended up not going through with it. And this was when I still lived in Los Angeles, and I, you know, went to the airport and I got on the plane and I actually forgot my bags. And my mom reminded me of this the last time we were talking about it. She was actually in town, because she was coming. She was going to fly, you know, in for the wedding a couple of days later. And she had dropped me off at the airport, and I got out and my head was in such a fog. I had left my bags in the car, and she's calling me like, you left your suitcase in the car. And I was like, oh, okay. And I came back and I got it and checked in and got on the plane. And I was just sitting there, and I just clearly remember thinking, like, what if I just didn't go? You know, like, what if I chose myself and was like, I'm not going to go through with this. And that's basically what I did. I got off the plane, and when I did that, that pretty much was the end of the relationship. You know, it took a little while for him to understand why I did what I did. But ultimately he did. And that was the beginning of my journey, I would say, to self-care, because when I did that, it was so liberating. Like, it was hurtful. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to hurt our families. But at that point, pretty much everything opened up for me in terms of just living a life that's more aligned with who I really am and who I really want it to be. I was working in finance for an aerospace company at the same time that I was in that relationship. And if you know me, you know that I am a people person. I am a talker. I'm a creative person. I hardly ever do anything exactly the same, you know, two times. And I was in accounting, so there wasn't a whole lot of talking to people and, you know, connecting with people. There was hardly any room for creativity. And I just was like, okay, I hate this job too. So not only was I kind of like feeling like the life was being sucked out of me in my relationship, I was being drained by what I was doing at work. And so I started thinking, like, what do I really want to do? And then that's when I heard about life coaching. And so I kind of started looking into that. And long story short, I decided to get certified in it. And it was maybe 2 years after I got certified that I started coaching one-on-one. And I ended up leaving my 9-to-5 at the aerospace company. And so that was like a whole nother level of like choosing myself. And so, you know, like I said, it was kind of a process, you know, but I would say it all started with that relationship when I realized that I didn't have to do it just because this is what we said we were going to do. If ultimately I knew that this wasn't going to be good for me, that I could at any point decide to go a different direction. And so that kind of snowballed and spilled over into every area of my life.
Perfect. I love that. That is such an interesting story. And it's like the ultimate self-care of like, choosing like a brand new life path. Like, it's not like baking muffins. Like, it's like choosing yourself and like a brand new life. That's awesome.
Christina, can you share with us some of the things that you do for self-care?
I'm kind of a person who's really passionate about learning new things. So to me, that's practicing self-care when I'm like reading a book about something that I don't know much about, or taking a workshop. I love workshops and seminars. I actually just took one a couple weeks ago with another coach here in town, and she did one on journaling, and I got a lot out of it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So that filled me up, you know, to learn some new journaling techniques. And I like taking assessments. I probably have taken every assessment there is known to man, like the love languages and the DISC assessment and like, oh my goodness, just all of them. Like, what are your spiritual gifts assessments? And I recently took the people code, and it tells you like what color you are, like red, green, no, it's red, blue, white, and yellow. And each color has a different set of personality traits. And so I learned that I was a yellow, which is mainly their main priority in life is fun. And that sounds like me to a certain extent, but I also learned that my secondary color was white, which was the peace giver, peace bringer. And so I kind of learned about that. So anyway, doing things like that, that's self-care for me, because I like to learn as much as I can about myself and to learn from different angles. Exploring things, traveling, and, you know, haven't been able to do that at all since, you know, about this time last year. But normally I would be going somewhere, you know, it doesn't have to be far and exotic, but I think just getting outside of your everyday routine and environment and just seeing different people and seeing different things, experiencing different food. Let's see here. I think taking care of yourself emotionally is really important too. I have really gotten better at communicating my feelings. And, you know, it's that thing when somebody, like, or let's say you're in a relationship and your partner says, what's wrong? And you're like, nothing. For me, self-care is being like, okay, this is what's wrong. Instead of saying, I'm fine. It's like, no, okay, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. And this is why I'm not fine. And what are we going to do about it? You know, kind of thing. It's like just being more true to yourself and asking for what you need. That's a big thing too, you know, instead of just hoping that you'll, you know, people will just understand what you want or what you need, being able to advocate for yourself and doing it in your friendships and, you know, with clients, with at work, with your boss, coworkers. I think definitely just being able to be okay with asking for help or asking for, you know, to get your needs met. And then I would say doing shadow work, and shadow work is, it's the stuff that, you know, I'm listing this under my ways that I practice self-care, but I think it's also important to communicate that self-care isn't always necessarily pleasant. You know,
yeah, that's
I think,
a good point.
Yeah, it's not always the manicures and pedicures and, you know, like girls night out.
Right.
Sometimes self-care is really like looking at your stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the stuff that we just kind of want to keep in the shadows or keep hidden, but, you know, looking at it like the aspects of ourselves that we don't maybe like so much. And instead of denying it or like stuffing it or hiding it, like bringing it out into the light and being like, okay, what is going on with this? Like, what's at the root of this?
Yeah.
And working through that.
I heard sorry to interrupt, but I heard someone tell mm-hmm. me that you can tell how good someone is at self-care by asking them when was the last time they went to the dentist. And when I heard that, I was like, ugh, like, so what if it's been 18 months? My teeth don't hurt, you know, but that's like a perfect example of, you know, why wait until you're in pain to go to the dentist, you know? And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, that is taking care of myself and going to the dentist and going to the gynecologist and going to, you know, all those things. It's not fun, but it's still self-care. So mm-hmm. that's such an interesting point that you made, that self-care is not always, you know, massages and pedicures. Like, sometimes it's therapy and the dentist. I love that.
That's right. And another key one is spirituality. Whatever your faith is, whatever higher power you connect with, I think it's really important to cultivate that relationship. So I'm always working on spending more time in prayer and meditation. And vision boards. Maria mentioned that earlier, and that's something that I do at least once a year, maybe every 6 months if I really feel like it. And vision boards are such a beautiful act of self-care because it gives you the space to dream. And we can get so stuck in reality and so bogged down with the logistics of how we think that things are going to happen for us. But doing a vision board just gives you the opportunity to let go of the how and just open yourself up to the what. Like, what do you want to be possible for you? And you don't have to worry about the how, just put it out there. So that's been a really big self-growth and self-care tool for me. Another one is, of course, the yoni steaming that I mentioned earlier. I think that yoni steaming is one of the ultimate forms of self-care that I know about, which is why I started offering the service. When I first learned about it, I was a little bit hesitant, you know, to tell people that I was interested in doing yoni steaming. But the more I learned, the more it helped me. I used to have I hope I can say this, I hope it's okay, but I used to have the worst, I'll just say, time of the month, every single month. And when I learned that I can actually heal my body with herbs and water and create a steam that will correct those issues for me, it was a complete game changer. And I was moved to offer the service to other women. And so I got certified and I learned how to blend herbs. I learned how to work with the natural plants that Earth gives us as a gift and to help heal my body. And now I'm excited that I'm able to help other women do that too. And I would say the last big one for me is floating or sensory deprivation. We don't have anything like that here in Juneau. I would love to start that service if nobody else does. I'm totally down for it. But sensory deprivation is when you go into a tank of warm water. The water is heated up to about 98 degrees, so it matches the temperature of the surface of your skin. There's about 800 pounds of salt in this water, so it's very buoyant. And you get in the tank and you just immediately float. As soon as you lay back, you're just like, poop, and you rise to the surface of the water and you're in complete silence. So there's no stimuli to distract you. It's just you and your thoughts. And it's like you're just floating on air. That is a space where you just get to process through your feelings. You get to do some dream time. Sometimes, you know, I even fall asleep and I try to get a good float in whenever I travel, you know, Seattle, Florida, you know, LA. I've done floating in a lot of different cities. Pretty much anywhere that I go that they have a flotation center, I make an appointment while I'm there because it's just one of the best ways to relax and it's very healing for your body too. So,
yeah, those are my self-care practices.
I love those. I know we talked earlier about, you know, three of the main reasons why people struggle with self-care. How would you help someone or what advice would you give to someone who was struggling to find their own self-care routine?
That's a really good question. The best advice that I can give is to become your own best friend. And I know that that may sound a little self-indulgent, but I'll give you a perfect example. A couple weeks ago, my mom called and she said that she had pulled a muscle in her back and she was just going to go home and get some rest. And so I said, okay. But then the next day, she was still in excruciating pain. And I told her, Mom, you got to go to the doctor. Just go get some pain meds, do something, like have them take a look at it. And she's like, no, I'm just going to grin and bear it. I'll be okay. And I could hear the pain in her voice. And I was like, Mom, if I called you and I told you 2 days in a row that I was in excruciating pain, what would you tell me to do? And she said, I got it. You're right. And she made an appointment. She got right in and she got the attention that she needed. And they hooked her up with a physical therapist and gave her some pain meds. And it's been 2 weeks. She's had a couple massages, you know, and she's now right as rain. She's right back to normal. You know, so it's that kind of thing where whatever advice you would give to the people that you love the most in your life, take that advice for yourself. I don't know about you, but I've never won an award for just grinning and bearing it. And so I don't know what we're trying to prove, especially as women, by just toughing it out. But we don't have to do that all the time. There's probably times where we do have to just tough things out and there's nothing that we can do about it. But if we can do something to make our life better, to make our health better, to feel better, then we should do that. The other thing that I would say is to just start small. If you're not used to practicing self-care, then it might be a little bit uncomfortable. And again, it might feel a little self-indulgent, but it starts with knowing your worthiness, knowing that you're more than worthy of taking care of yourself. It's an investment. Think of self-care as an investment in yourself. We understand investment and return. Sowing and reaping. And so when you pour into yourself, you're going to reap dividends from that. And not just you, but the other people in your life. And as much as you want to give to others, you're going to have more to give when you yourself are filled up, when you're running on your optimal health, your optimal, you know, mental health, emotional health. And I'm not saying that I'm always at 100%, but I am conscious of the fact that I do give out a lot. So I have to make sure that I stay filled up myself so that I continue to be able to give.
Okay, well, perfect. Christina, we are so glad that you decided to join us and that you let us switch places with you and interview you this week instead of you interviewing us. It has been a pleasure. I love hearing about your life and your stories and your passion for women. And I just am so grateful for what you're doing in this community and with the women in this community, especially. So just keep doing what you're doing, girl. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful day.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit kto.org/JunoAfternoon.